In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. Today, the second Sunday of the Blessed Holy 50 days, and the theme of the readings throughout the whole week, and also, of course, today, is about the Lord letting us know about Himself being the bread of life that came from heaven. And this is the epic of our practices in the church, that we come to take communion. Everything at the end, if it is not getting us here where we come and partake of the holy mysteries, then everything else is in vain, whatever it's prayer or fasting or any kind of ascetic practices. So today when we hear the Lord saying that I am the bread that came from heaven, many people stumble at this mystery for different reasons. Some people cannot imagine that God can humble himself up to this, or how much love is it in here. People cannot imagine that this can something doable, that God can give himself and take a body so we can eat and have life through it. And also many people, they wonder about the practice of the church in regarding to this mystery. So we will answer today quickly a few questions about communion, about the sacrament of the Eucharist. Why do we need communion after all? Is it something like a tradition? Is it only because we are Orthodox and we are used to this? The second question, why should we fast before it? Many people say that in the day of the Last Supper, the Lord Christ, he did the Passover, and then he gave the disciples to eat with no interval, so there is no time where they fasted. Why now we should fast? And then why bread and wine? Why we don't use any other material for the sacrament? Is it a true body and blood, or just a symbol? A major difference between us and the other non-apostolic churches is that they say this is just a commemoration. We come to celebrate the remembrance of the Lord, and in a way that just like we think of him, so it's nothing more than a symbol. Is it true, his body and his blood? How can I prepare myself? Many of us know that we have to come to the church prepared in order for us to take communion. And then the last question is, are we offering every week a new Christ? We slaughter our Savior every week on the altar. If this is how what is meant. So let's go quickly and answer these questions. The first one, why do we need communion? This is not something that we made it up. It's not a church invention. It is the command by the Lord to his disciples, when he said in many occasions, and his disciples communicated the same meaning over and over. Communion is life for us, meaning if we don't partake, we are dead. Yes, we walk and we talk and we eat and we grow physically, but unless we are partaking of it, we are spiritually dead beings. Let us hear what the Lord said in his dialogue between him and the Pharisees and the scribes and the people in John chapter 6. I am the living bread that came down from out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So this is the life of the world. Also he said, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Let us remember this verse very well, communicated to our children clearly. Unless we eat, we have no life. The condition here leaves us with no doubt that he meant it literally. Unless we eat, then we cannot have life. Through communion also, we have the hope of the final resurrection for eternal life. This is also the Lord who said, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we understand from this, unless we eat, we have no eternal life. Resurrection will not be something that we really enjoy at the last day unless I am partaking of this mystery. We cannot really have the complete forgiveness of sins unless we partake of the mystery. He said, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is by which we receive the full forgiveness of our sins. We are branches, and this is the way we abide in the vineyard. If this branch is broken away from the vine, cannot bear fruits. Also the Lord said, He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. If we say it in the reverse way, if you don't eat of my flesh, you do not drink of my blood, you cannot abide in me. And then a branch will wither and die away. Not only us and him, in terms of being united with him and having life that's communicated through his body and blood to us, but also in the relationship of one another. We partake of this mystery, so we become one. One truly as the Lord intended us for us to be. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Why we are all one? What is the reason that St. Paul said to the Corinthians in his first epistle, chapter 10? Because we eat of this bread. This is what makes us one. Also, when we partake of the mystery, we come and celebrate the Eucharist. We also remember him. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The people who do not believe in the communion as a sacrament say, look, he says, remember me. So it's just like an occasion where we come and we think of him. There is two kinds of remembrance. There is a remembrance of a person who is dead and absent, and another remembrance of a person who is alive and present. Meaning, today, if or any day in the liturgy, if we celebrate the commemoration of one of the beloved people who departed from us, we remember him, but he is absent, and his remembrance is just on the level of the memory. But if today, for example, if we are talking now, and maybe Abu Nasha' comes, many of us know Abu Nasha', we enjoyed his service to us for many years. When he comes, we will remember him and remember what he did among us and how he served the church for many years, and all of the things related to him and his ministry will be brought back to our memory. It's a kind of remembrance, but it's brought to us by a living and present person. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ for us a dead and absent person, or he is present and alive? If he is present and alive, then he is here. Yes, when he comes among us, we remember everything he did. That's why the liturgy, the theme of the liturgy, all of it is about what? Remembering everything he did, because he is among us. And when we see him, we partake of him, we remember what he did for us. So this is the question number one. Why do we need communion? And all of these are the reasons. And all of them are significant enough not to doubt that we cannot be saved without it. The second question, why should we fast before it? And why the 9 hours? First of all, we all know the power of fasting and prayer. So when we come to the church today fasting and we are praying, we are combining these two kinds of weapons that the Lord said by which we conquer the devil and all of his soldiers. So there is nothing here that's against the spirituality of the church that we fast and pray. We are better prepared when we come fasting. We all know how we feel during the Holy Great Fast. Because we are fasting, our prayers are stronger, and we are more zealous in carrying on with day-to-day prayers. What about the 9 hours? It was the custom at the time, after our father, the apostles, that people will be convened at the church to celebrate the liturgy in this way. They start by the Vesper prayers, Tasbih Ashay, and then the Vespers. And then they stay in the church and pray together the midnight prayers, and then the Matins offering of incense, and then the liturgy. So the liturgy at that time was 9 hours, from the beginning of the Vespers praises, the night before that we do, till the end of the liturgy. So people come to the church, and then, because of the other church, they don't eat. And 9 hours passes, and then they take communion. That's why it became, after now the liturgy is split between the Vespers, the night before, and the liturgy, now we say you fast for 9 hours, because we are still keeping the tradition that the church used to pray for 9 hours before taking communion. Another reason why we fast is we want to eat from Christ's hands, meaning in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam, don't eat. And Adam took communion, I'm sorry, took food from the devil's hand. Take this and eat from my hand. When Adam broke the fast, eating from the hands of the devil, he transgressed and he fell into the condemnation that we all know about it. Now you die. But now we want to come to the church as if like we are reversing the story in Genesis chapter 3. We come to you, O Lord, fasting, waiting until you give us to eat. And this is what he did. He gave to the people when he fed the multitude. He gave them in the Last Supper, take, eat. When we eat from his hand, then we have life. The last reason why we fast before taking communion is related to a story in the book of Genesis chapter 22. We are all familiar with it, the offering of Isaac. The story says that Abraham came with a sword in his hand, intending to offer his son as a sacrifice. Today you come to the church, we should not appear before the Lord empty-handed. We come to present something. We come and present our obedience and our worship, our love, our children before Christ, and we also offer ourselves as a sacrifice. When we come with the intention to offer ourselves, the will is Abraham, the flesh is Isaac. Fasting is the knife in your hand. You come saying to God, you know what? I will just come and offer myself as a sacrifice before you. And then as the story ended, the same happens now. At the time when Abraham was about to offer Isaac, the angel appeared to him and said, don't offer your son. Look, raise your eyes, you'll see a lamb. Offer the lamb and save your son. So we come with the intention of offering ourselves as a sacrifice, and then the same happened. The Lord says, raise your eyes, look at the table, you will find the lamb. Eat and do not die. So one of the offerings we come today to give to God out of love and obedience is offering ourselves, our flesh, as Abraham offered Isaac. The third question, why bread and wine? Why not any other material? The Lord likened himself to these two examples. He said that unless the grain of wheat, the seed of wheat, dies, it cannot bear fruits. He is this grain of wheat, should be buried in order for it, when it comes out, comes with life and give life to many other seeds. Also, in order for us to make flour, this grain of wheat should be grind, crushed. And this is what happened to him. In order for him to offer himself as a sacrifice, he accepted suffering. He accepted to be crushed under the torture of the cross in order for us to be able to partake of him. Also, we are all like him, many grain wheat, many seeds. We cannot be really in this kind of one body unless we all accept the grinding, the crushing. And this is sometimes which makes it difficult and makes us, many years we come to the church, but we still live as a seed of wheat by itself. I can come, I look at you and I share, but I don't accept that I will be grinned and be crushed and be one with everybody else. Unless we become our flower, we cannot really be combined with one another. When it comes to the blood being the grape juice, he said, I am the true vine. So there is no wonder when the vine is pressed, when the grape is pressed, then we take the grape juice. The water that makes the flour is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and the leaven in it that we put in the dough is a symbol of sin. Come to other question, is it true body and blood or just a symbol? We spoke about the effect of the Eucharist to us, giving us life, resurrection from the dead, forgiveness of sins. How any kind of material that's like worldly can give us all of this? So the effect of the Eucharist cannot be attained by just a symbol. Another thing, the Lord said, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Adding indeed means true, actual. What else can he say to confirm for us this fact of our faith? When he said, you have to eat my body and drink my blood, people were offended and started to leave. And many of his disciples, as we read in John chapter 6, they stopped walking behind him. If the people misunderstood him, definitely he would run after them and say, you know what, you didn't understand me well. I need to explain myself. I meant it in a simple way. We hear from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? What was the position of the Lord? If you yourself want to leave, leave. Meaning, I mean what I say. You either accept it or not. But this is not a subject for me to compromise. It's the ultimate relationship between us and God. There is no way God will make it something that we just like it this way or we favor it this way. St. Paul said to the Corinthians also, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Guilty of the body and blood. What kind of food, no matter how holy or sacred it is, if we partake of it in an unworthy way, we will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Can you imagine that you come to the church and we have a banquet, and he tell you, you know what, you have to examine yourself before you eat from this banquet, because if you don't eat in an unworthy way, then you will receive condemnation. What, this doesn't make any sense, unless this is truly the body and the blood of the Lord. The fifth question is about how can I prepare myself? In few words also, let's remind you, I know that you all know all of this information. It's important for us just to keep remembering what needs to be done. To have the right faith. If I don't believe, I cannot partake. Coming to the church just wondering means I'm not ready yet. The second thing to be prepared, I have to be baptized in the faith. Again, we are not making things difficult for people. Look at a symbol from the Old Testament. That's the Passover lamb. The Lord said as an instruction for Moses, no foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. Then if there is a foreigner, not from the children of God, he has to be circumcised. And circumcision was a symbol of baptism. You have to be in the Lord first before you can partake of his body and drink of his blood. Another way to prepare ourselves is to be reconciled with one another. This is, we know this, we cannot come here holding grudges and then I'm still hurting another person and I can partake of the mystery. The Lord said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It doesn't mean that anyone who is upset with you for no reason, this can keep you away from communion. But if you wronged someone, you owe him an apology. Send him a text saying, I apologize. Even if he doesn't accept it, even if she or he still find difficulty forgiving, at least you made what's requested of you. To prepare ourselves also, we need to be being sanctified through the liturgy. Meaning, we come early, so we be cleansed by the prayer, healed by the prayers and absolutions, so we can partake of it at the end. Coming at the end of the liturgy, just from the door to the communion room, just like skipping all of the process of sanctification. How can then I partake of this mystery without preparation? We hear in the book of Proverbs, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I forgot a point about repentance and confession, of course. We all know this. There is no way I can be living in sin, active in sin, while not repenting, not even trying, not confessing, and I can partake of the mystery. The last question we answer today is, do we offer many Christs? Every week we come and a new Christ is offered. This is not true. What we partake of is the same Christ that was offered on the cross, offered himself on the cross 2,000 years ago. God and Christ is not subject to time. He is not limited in any time or space. Meaning, when we say he is here with us, we do not understand that he is not there in another church. He is here and he is in another church, all of the other churches who are praying in the right faith, he is with them. So the place is not limiting him. And also time is not limiting him. He is here today as he was in the cross, the same body. That's why in the book of Revelation we hear about the lamb that standing as if slain. حمل قائم كأنه مذبوح. هو قائم ولا مذبوح. It is the same. And it is an act that continues forever. Sacrifice of the Lord's body is never limited to time or space. I hope that we have all of these answers in our minds for ourselves and for those people who wonder about our faith, so we can give an answer for those who ask us about the reason of hope that is in us. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.